This is Scott from Reno, Nevada, fan of the greatest jersey in all of sports, frankly. And by that, of course, I'm referencing the Arizona Coyotes Kachina jersey. Come on, Adam, you know it's true. And you are all listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome in to the final episode of season number 73 that we've had here of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. At least it feels like that with some of these clowns that I have to talk to on a bi-weekly or weekly basis. Brought to you by MyCustomSportsChair.com. Get what you need, all the logos you want on a great chair. MyCustomSportsChair.com, PHN20 is the code. The gang's almost all here. The esteemed Dr. Lou Lafredo is doing doctoral things and not able to join us this week. But we've got the snarky Canadian with his gaming headset there and Jacob out in parts unknown of Western Canada. We say that for his safety and those around him. Lonnie Goldsmith, who I think is I believe you fought out there finally in Minnesota, and you've gone to the reverse of, like, take cover, there's storms coming.
We haven't had rain in a very long time. It's
Everybody around you got the storms then.
We keep getting missed. We get missed by every storm. I don't know why this happens. We've had, like, 5 minutes of rain this summer.
It's, yeah, Midwest storm season has been nuts. Producer extraordinaire Richard Cote, you're in studio, new studio 1A.
Yeah. Yep, we are currently on air.
Yeah, that's
as you can see.
That's the key. I can't do a podcast if the on air is not lit.
I know. I did it just for you.
Yep. And then I'm Adam Minnick, and I'm in 116 degree heat index in an undisclosed hotel location in Austin, Texas, because it's hot as balls here.
I just left that after 4 days of New Orleans. It was unbelievable.
New Orleans is unbelievable for many reasons.
Yes, but the heat and discomfort of walking around really any time, day or night, yeah, is astounding.
Yes. So it's this is what season are we in, Richard? I know you keep official count of this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this is season 5. So this is the close of season 5.
73.
You were close. Okay. You were really close. I think you lost one or two seasons in there, but yeah.
It just feels like
it.
Not for me. I just got here.
Nobody asked you. Okay. Nobody asked you to talk about that segment, but you know, it's okay, Jacob. He'll learn. Richard, what kind of thing? What do you do on the second line that he just jumps in whenever he feels like?
I was gonna say I'll wear on him. I'm sure by the end of next season he'll be like, I've been doing this for ages.
I mean, we had a guy originally who lasted like 2 weeks, and you like kicked him out.
I mean, there's that. Jacob hasn't gotten to that point yet. He keeps us entertained enough on the second line, but you know, he needs to watch it. He was a little late today, so he needs to watch it. Otherwise, I'm getting the axe.
I'm used to the wild west of the second line. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is the wild. There's a lot of wild on the first line. Let's not kid ourselves here. Okay, we're going to get right into it. We're going to make ourselves feel amazing because this is the Richard rundown for today.
Yeah,
which I like. So we're going to look back at how our predictions turned out, huh?
Yeah, we are going to look back. I mean, as everybody in the world knows at this point, the Vegas Golden Knights have won the 2023 Stanley Cup, and suffice to say, none of us picked them to win it.
Okay.
At the beginning of the season,
it's really easy. Nobody in the group of us five have picked Florida or Vegas to reach the Stanley Cup in our way too early preseason picks.
Well, honestly, I didn't even think Florida was going to make the playoffs at the start of the season.
I think I was the only one who had them in the playoffs. I said they were going to win the Atlantic. I was so close on that one.
So you were the most-ish, right? Even though they were like the worst playoff team. So you kind of got it. You were the most-ish, right?
I was the most-ish. No, I was 100% wrong.
Yeah. And then Jacob is kind of right, because he did have Vegas as a division winner, and they did make the cup, even though he didn't predict them to make the cup.
So off the bat.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was thinking that they were going to go to the conference finals against Colorado, and I thought Colorado was going to beat them.
Clearly, that's why you picked Colorado. Yeah.
That was my thought process, at least.
Lou and I riding the Calgary bandwagon. That didn't work. Lonnie, Edmonton, I mean, why did you think they figured it out? It's Edmonton.
Why did you think Calgary was going to go anywhere?
Because Daryl Sutter is such a strong way to wear on people. I don't know. Because they got rid of things they needed to and added what they were supposed to.
Because I think the conventional wisdom early in the season was that they won the trade.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season was they won that trade with Florida. I mean,
and guess what? I don't think they have.
No, I think they're going to fall short in that category. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Edmonton, the thought process was they have the two best offensive players in hockey. They could, compensate for their obvious shortcomings.
Yeah, that didn't work.
They almost
did not work.
Yeah. Richard, the Rangers, that didn't work out for you either.
Oh, no, I was riding high on the hopes that they were on the precipice the season before and they looked so good. And, Shesterkin is a phenomenal goaltender. And I thought he was going to continue that into the next season. They looked promising and obviously fell well short of what I was hoping they would. I thought it was going to be a Colorado, New York Stanley Cup. And I was really hoping for that. Cause that would be so good. So good to watch.
So I was the most right in the East. Cause I at least had one of the final two teams.
Well, I had one of the final two teams. Oh no.
No, yeah. No, you didn't. Yeah. No, the Rangers did not make the final two. Nope.
Nope.
Everybody was Rangers except me in the East.
That's true.
Yeah. You guys all suck. But, yeah. I will say most improved team. You're welcome. Lonnie and I genius yep. on that.
That was a good pick. That was a good pick.
Real low bar because they, Ottawa still didn't get to the point I thought they were going to get to. And now they're going to probably be worse next year.
Yeah.
So they've already lost the trade they made. I'm just going on the record of that. They lost that trade.
It's not like they had much of a choice.
Yeah. And Richard, good job. Biggest drop-off team, Washington. Good job.
Yeah. I saw it.
Yeah, Lonnie, good with Tampa there. You did pretty good with Tampa there with the minus 12.
I did better with Tampa than you did with your pick.
No.
You're right. Boston had a better season in the regular season, but man, that collapse in the playoffs, that's the biggest drop. That's a huge drop. We're going to go with that.
No, we're not.
Let's see. The Hart, we're not even going to talk about. I mean, here's the thing with the Hart. Like, some of us didn't pick McDavid, I think, just to try to mix it up somewhat.
Yeah.
So whatever Lonnie and Jacob, you guys could be.
And some of us want to be right. And yeah, there you have it.
Yeah. The Richard, I mean, Jacob, go with the sexy pick. Yep. And I'm not sure why McDavid was, and he also picked him for the Jack Adams. Don't think that happened.
Hey,
he was close.
Yeah.
I was close.
Yeah. So none of us had Montgomery. So,
yep.
I'm more surprised you had Huberto for the Hart. You were really high on Calgary at the start of the season.
I was very high in Calgary. They had a good, the year before wasn't bad. I thought they were going to build on it.
After all the trades, you didn't think that there would be at least a bit of adjustment period, especially with losing Goudreau and Tkachuk.
Yeah, I thought there'd be an adjustment period, but I thought they would adjust it correctly. Like kind of like Florida had an adjustment period and it worked out for them.
Sure did.
I mean, yeah, I kind of thought they'd figure it out for God's sakes. So,
Florida had an adjustment. I mean, it worked out for them, but barely. I mean, they were the 17th best team in hockey this year.
They got into the tournament, and that's the goal.
They did. Right. I mean,
they figured it out the right time, man.
Yep.
I mean, and who knew that you would take that Sutter would take Huberto and absolutely destroy him.
Exactly. I didn't even think Sutter was capable of that.
No.
But so weird question on Calgary. I don't want to make this Calgary dominated. I'm going to ask this specifically to Lonnie.
Yep.
Are they turning into the new San Jose Sharks?
Oh,
common thread too, oddly enough.
How so? Give me more on this.
Just you look at the roster and you're going to expect so much. And then you watch them and it's like, oh, they're missing this piece. Okay. And then they fit that in. And then it's like, Oh, then they got to make a coaching change and that's going to fix it. Oh, like, are we starting to get there?
We've been there for years with Calgary, at least.
No, but I don't think the expectation. San Jose always had expectations of doing something in that Todd McClellan era, especially. And then you know what I mean? Then they changed the offense, and then we're like, oh, it's got to be Nabokko. It's time to move on from the goalie. I'm starting to feel Calgary's getting to this.
I think we need a couple more years of them before we're fully in that sort of mode. You know, I think, you know, San Jose never quite had the addition by subtraction, the way that Calgary did.
Fair enough.
I mean, and it was, you know, the big star for big star swap. Like that's not a trade you see all that often of that kind of caliber. And it's, I mean, clearly it's one that's, I mean, it could yet work out, but obviously Calgary,
Calgary
was a lot of subtraction going into last year. Kachuk, Gaudreau.
Maybe I'm too Daryl Suttering this it's a Sutter problem, not the franchise.
I think you're onto something.
Okay. That question. So congratulations, Lonnie. You are 5 out of our 12 picks.
Oof.
You win. Lou got 1. He loses.
We picked Vancouver to come out of the Pacific. Or to win the Pacific. I think he lost before the season started.
He also picked Anaheim to be the most improved team.
Yep.
Oh.
To be fair, after he picked Boston to be the worst, I wouldn't give him too much. No.
Hang on. It wasn't to be the worst. It was to have the biggest drop. Like,
yep.
Tampa Bay, I picked to be the biggest. They're still a good team, but they were still minus 12.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
And who expected Boston to capitalize on the great year they had the year before? I mean, it's let's be honest. Right.
As a fan, I didn't even expect them to put on the season that they did.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Lou by far, not only was he 1-12, he had some holy cruds. I mean, Shesterkin is the heart.
There were some in them. I mean, boy, the blue blinders were so very clearly on with that pick. I mean, look, obviously I like the Rangers, but like, come on, Shesterkin for Hart. He's got to do, you know, for a goalie to win the Hart in an era with guys like McDavid, Matthews, Dreisaitl, like generational goal scorers.
Yeah.
A goalie's probably got to have something in the neighborhood. No joke. 1.25 goals against average.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. With 40 wins, double digit shutouts, like. A 920, 930, like it's got to be something like video game numbers for a goalie to be able to win a Hart Trophy right now with the skaters we have.
Well, we can see with Carey Price. He had a 933 save percentage, 1.96 goals against, and 66 or 44 wins in the year that he won his Hart Trophy.
Was he the last goalie to win the Hart?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be probably the last who wins the Hart for a very, very, very long time.
I mean, and I think it's got, you got to have even a lower goals. I think you've got to have a significantly lower goals against than even he had with some of this.
986.
I think you're going to need much lower than that because the offense is just too good.
Yep. Agreed.
And the game has become tilted to favor the offense.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Let's move on to the free agent frenzy. First we're going to look at, you know, kind of, what do you guys think? What are their biggest signings in the free agent world that you think has taken place so far?
You know, go ahead.
Oh, I want to hear what you have to say, Lonnie. And then I have a question for Adam.
I was going to say, to me, the biggest thing is not the names who have signed, it's the names who haven't.
No, we're going to there next. Come on.
Is that another segment? All right, fine.
That's low-hanging fruit. That's cheap. Come on, do better. Do better.
Well, the names all right, fine then. All right, then, Richard, ask your question.
All right. The trade between Colorado and Boston to acquire Hall, is that a plus or a minus for the Blackhawks considering what they picked up in the draft?
That's a plus.
Oh, that's a plus.
I mean,
having a former.
He did well in Boston. There were issues in Buffalo. I know.
He's okay. Ryan O'Reilly had issues in Buffalo, and now everybody's talking after he won a cup in Colorado and how he's a great locker room guy and Toronto wanted him back and all that. So Buffalo is the problem. Let anybody that had locker room issues in Buffalo, let's chalk that up to Buffalo. That's my thing there. Here's why I think Hall is a great signing. I don't think it matters what he does on the ice. He's a former number one pick. He's supposed to be playing on a line with a former number one, with the current number one pick. Teach him in the locker room. Wouldn't be shocked if their stalls are next to each other. Help him acclimate to the NHL. This is a veteran presence. Hall is going to take over what Jonathan Toews could have done. Okay. Very different in the sense that it's not the franchise captain and Captain Sirius and three cups and all that. And Kyle Davidson 100% chose to move on for many good and bad reasons, you can both say. But I don't think it matters what Hall does on the ice. I think it matters of how he teaches Bedard to be an NHL player.
So I actually just want to jump in about the Jonathan Toews thing. It looks like he's going to retire.
That's the rumor.
And like his agency doesn't have him listed as a free agent.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, physically, I think that's there. But I mean, I also think that there's something to be said where he may not have wanted to play for a different team, and it's not worth what his body is going through to go. But if the Hawks would agree to retain him, he may have played for another. Who knows? I think that's part of it. No, but I see what you're saying, Richard, like in terms of, but I think also a player like him changes as he gets older.
Yeah.
And he realizes what his role is and his comfort in his own skin. So okay. I think he's a different player than he was in Buffalo.
I wholeheartedly agree. Just given what he's done in Boston, he had a phenomenal couple of seasons there. To be honest, I think that was probably his closest chance at a cup, at least for the next couple of years.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, he's getting overpaid. I mean, he's not a $6 million player.
No.
You know, they also gave him what's really interesting. And a lot of people were shocked by this. They gave him a no trade clause. I think they really do want him to, I think they wanted him to want to come in much like, you know, Corey Perry, but on the shorter deal. But you know, with the trade, they're honoring the no trade. It's just it's finish the deal you're on. You've got 2 years. He can only submit, I think it's 10 teams in the last 2 years of his contract. Mm-hmm. So it's a very tradable contract. So a year from now, at the trade deadline, if things are not where and he wants to go for a winner, he can ask for a trade. I mean, it's a very flexible contract, and I think there's only upside for the Hawks in the situation they're in to sign a Taylor Hall.
Yeah, I just know there have been, people going back and forth about, you know, his career and what he does in the locker room. I've never bought too much into that. You know, he's definitely not like a Matt Duchene kind of thing. But, you know, I just wanted to kind of get it from somebody who follows Chicago a little bit closer, you know, kind of what the feeling is in that.
Yeah, I don't know. I from an insight, from a fan point of view, I love it. And for as bad as he is, like in the quote unquote locker room, he spent what, 6 seasons with Edmonton. Then he went for 4 seasons with Jersey. Had a stopover in Arizona and Buffalo, but then 3 years with Boston, including the best ever regular season team and a cup run. Like, so I mean, like, one spot in all his spots, Edmonton, he didn't live up to the number one pick hype. I don't think it was a locker room thing. He wasn't a stud.
It was mostly both, actually. There were a lot of rumors about his conduct on and off the ice.
When you're the number one pick and you're not, and you're a semi bust, there's going to be other things. I mean, things are going to get manufactured. That's all from somebody that's seen into locker rooms. When guys don't live up to expectations, it's really easy to make them both bad on the ice and in the locker room.
Yeah. And also, it also isn't as bad to see he wasn't considered as much of a bust as guys like Yakupov were. like, he had at least a meet Sheldon Yakupov.
He had one really good season in Edmonton. Otherwise, it was not a great Edmonton career for a number one pick.
Yeah.
And his best season was when they had their worst record in his tenure there. So, but yeah, wow, that was a long Taylor Hall diatribe there. You really, really went deep there.
Well, to me, that's just, as Lonnie was saying, there hasn't been a whole lot of excitement with the free agency market. And that was like just the biggest name that popped out to me. And
I think probably the signing that I find at least most intriguing is, I think there's a lot of head scratch. There's a lot more head scratchers, I think, than like great signings. I like Bertuzzi to Toronto for a year.
Isn't it ironic he signed with a Canadian team?
It's incredibly ironic. that kept him in Detroit 2 years ago at the trade deadline was the fact that he couldn't move to a Canadian team. I think it's a good move for him. He's still fairly young, still offers a lot offensively, offers a ton of grit on a team that needs it. And, I think the proliferation of short contracts is, I think probably player driven in the hope that it's, we're looking at a cap explosion, hopefully in a couple of years.
So many guys are betting on themselves.
Sure.
And the bridge for 2 years before we probably see a $4 to $6 million cap hit, because escrow should be paid off by then. That's what this offseason is teaching. Yeah. I think one of the oddest ones for me, a 36-year-old, 2 year, $14 million contract to Anze Kopitar. Thank you for what you've done. Come retire with us. That's a lot of money.
It is.
Yeah.
For a guy that, I know he was a 70 point guy last year, but he's probably, he's a 50 some point guy. He's 50 to 65, I would say. That seems like a lot of money for a team like that.
Yeah.
They're over the cap. They have to do something. And I know it's a discount. They re-signed him a year ahead of finishing the $10 million. This is what I don't understand of why did they extend him this year?
It doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
I think they were kind of forced into it by the way that they really dealt with Jonathan Quick. I think the team really did not react well to that. And I think this is their way of trying to maybe say, hey, we're not going to shoot our captain in the face when he becomes a pending free agent. Please believe in the front office kind of thing, maybe.
I feel like they didn't care with Quick and, why should they care with Kopitar? Like that. I am truly baffled by that, by this extension.
Yeah. I'm actually
sports is a business. On. It's a business.
Yeah.
We root for laundry. I mean,
we do.
The name on the front.
No,
we do.
I agree.
It's the name on the front, not the name on the back. They're doing this because they feel bad about what happened with Quick. Look, Quick was bad. He shouldn't have been playing there. He got a ring out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to throw this out as the worst signing. It wasn't a free agent signing because it's technically an extension.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on the island, but Sorokin investing $66 million over 8 years in a goaltender.
Ooh.
With no movement clauses throughout, he is unmovable till 2028. So in halfway through, he goes from 28 to 32. And then in 31, 30, his last year, he still has 16 teams, half the league. They just signed an immovable object for 8 years in the crease. Lou Lamoriello.
In addition to the 2 7-year extensions he doled out.
Well, and by the way, Sorokin's 27. I don't think people realize that. He's not a 23-year-old goalie.
Mm-mm.
You signed a 27-year-old for 8 years.
I thought he was 25.
Yeah, no, he's 28 years, 27-year-old. Oh, yeah, I mean, Bo Horvat, 868 for a 28-year-old. Yeah. Matthew Barzell, 873 for a 26-year-old. While everybody else was signing short-term deal, leave it to Lou Lamoriello to, you know, Doug Armstrong. I mean, Nathan McKinnon. Okay, that makes sense. You know, he's that was last year's big signing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that made sense considering what we were looking at with the cap stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Barzell signs last year, Horvat this year, Sorokin this year. What the heck is going on the island, guys?
I don't know. I mean, and then again, like the cap numbers aren't big. The AAV isn't big, but you know, Engvall and Mayfield both to 7-year deals.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this caveat goes to every GM, obviously. They know their teams better than we do and what they're looking for and how to build better than we do. But boy, there are some choices being made that are curious here.
If you're signing a guy at $3.5 million for 7 years, you're advanced scouting your team. They must love him and think that you're going to have such a discount in the back half of that they are going to be a first line forward.
Right. Except here's the thing. Pierre Engvall is 27 years old. You're signing him to his age 34 season. Like, again, it's not like this is a young guy that you're betting on. This is a known quantity. Scott Mayfield is 30 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And look, I know that right-handed D's are, you know, overvalued in the market, but whoa.
And a no trade clause. You're giving a no trade clause to a $3 million guy. Jacob, this is Edmonton type stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the Edmonton of the East was Buffalo, but now they're actually improving. Honestly, they have 10 no trade clauses on that team. That's and none of them are young. Like, they have a very old forward core, and they're paying, starting in 2024, they're paying their goalies $11 million.
Now, I actually don't have a problem with the cap on the goal, with the total number on the goal.
Yeah, 11's about right for a good goaltending tandem.
For a tandem. I don't actually have a problem with that. I mean, let's say
Varmoloff is 35.
Okay, no. See, that's, I don't mind the choice on the tandem. I do mind paying a 35-year-old goalie 4-11.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's not the total number on the position. It's what you're choosing, where you're choosing to allocate those resources. And a 4-year, $11 million to Varlamov. And then that extension, and the Sorokin extension, Adam, doesn't even kick in till next year.
I know. Well, here's what
it's
I don't understand.
It's wild.
Take me through these negotiations. So you've got Scott Mayfield, who's talking extension. And they're like, yeah, 7 years. And then his agent's like, yeah, but we want a no trade clause for a $3.5 million guy who's getting more years than he probably deserves as a middle defenseman. Yet Matthew Barzell, he didn't get that.
Can I ask you?
He wants to go to Toronto.
Is he a middle defenseman?
Well, I mean, he's like a 3-4-5 guy, right?
I mean, he's definitely, you know, bottom four. I'm not sure he's locked into a middle pair. So yeah, he's a second or third pair defenseman. Who, I mean, sure, I guess, you know, he struck when the iron was hot, topping out, you know, finishing last season with a career high 24 points.
He's more of a D from the right. How do you dole out a no trade? Like, what bargaining? Like, you're offered him a 7-year deal. Like, I'm pretty sure if you didn't add the no trade clause, he's still signing for $21 million for you.
It's the definition of negotiating against yourself. Like, if I'm a GM in that situation, I'm not giving a 30-year-old defensive defenseman who doesn't play on my top pair. I mean, I'm not giving even an offensive defenseman 7 years, but like to give him a full no trade on a 7-year deal, like,
yeah,
I would pay a little bit more in AAV for 4 years, maybe five if I'm feeling generous, but seven. I mean, that's like it had to be one of those situations where the agent says, I want 5 years, and Lou's like, no, how about seven? Okay. What else, you know, what else do you want to give us? Great. Like,
so yeah. Okay. So let's go to the more fun one. Cause you alluded to it earlier. The names that haven't signed. Let's clear the deck right now. We're not going to talk about Patrick Kane. He's announced that he's going to wait till the season starts and he's healthy. So he's going to wait a month, maybe two, because it looks like December-ish is when he'll be ready to come back after surgery. He's basically going to see where he wants to go for a year, who's competitive, yep, and who can fit him under the cap. Like, okay. You know, maybe, honestly, for Kane, maybe the injury was the best thing that did happen, because now he can rest up, repair, and then he gets to choose his destination. And the pool went from this to this, and he's going to control it. So don't even need to talk about that.
No.
More surprising, Richard, Tarasenko or Dumba not being signed yet?
Oh.
Unless you got a bigger name, but I think those are the two more. No,
those are definitely the two biggest that are still out there. I think it's Tarasenko. I mean, it also depends on the needs of your team. If you're, you know, short in the forward position or the defensive position, but I think head to head, I would take Tarasenko as the biggest shock that he hasn't signed with somebody at this point.
And Lonnie, he had to start all over because right in the process, he just changed agents.
Yeah, I mean, if you change agents, I don't even remember what date it was, but like a week
into the free agent signing period. About,
I mean, you have to believe that either one of a couple of things: your previous agents were not doing what you wanted, or they were not getting offers of the value, and we weren't negotiating things of the value that were out there. I think it's probably more the latter, simply because I have not seen his name connected to anyone, even in like sort of the, you know, tampering process. Like, I saw his name connected to nobody.
Yeah. And he didn't just change agents. I mean, he went to CAA and Pat Brisson, who, I mean, if there is a super agent in hockey, Brisson's got to be right up there in the conversation of the big name agents in hockey. And we all know CAA is no small thing in sports.
Right.
Where, Jacob, any thoughts of where do you think Tarasenko eventually ends up?
I thought I heard his name connected to New York, actually, like the Rangers.
I mean, yeah, go back there. That's.
I was under the impression that he just wants to sign there, and I don't know.
They got a lot of moving to do then.
Yeah. Or he's going to take a really cheap contract.
He's not playing for $2 million.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what they're or what he's thinking right now, because there are a lot of teams will want his services. Like he proved with New York last year. If he is on a contender and he's playing with good players, he can still score. He can still be an elite player. So I'm quite surprised that he hasn't had a team yet, or there isn't an active bidding war.
Richard, where do you see him going?
You know, I'm trying to think of a team that might be able to use him right now. And the team that's popping up to my mind is one that's already lost a couple of pieces in Nashville. I don't know if they'd be able to afford him given the buyout they just had of Matt Duchene's contract.
They got about $8 million under the cap right now, that's in line.
And they lost Johansson, so yeah, I mean that's right now forefront of my mind a team that could probably use, you know, a player like Tarasenko.
Yeah, reunite him with Brian O'Reilly.
Exactly.
I forgot about that. Lonnie, I got a couple ideas.
Yeah.
I got one team that would have to make moves to get cap space and one team that I think is a dark horse that could sign him today. The one that needs to make moves is Carolina. He fits that roster and kind of a missing piece.
Yeah.
Where I think honestly he should go. And I think it would be an amazing thing for that team because of how nondescript balanced scoring they had. Seattle.
You know, you and I had talked about Seattle sort of as free agency was kicking in. And it's a team that wouldn't have to make moves.
Yep.
It's just a question of how you think he fits with sort of the team building so far. I mean, they've got the space and they're a little bit older. I mean, that definitely would make them even, you know, slightly older still. They have no like massive name players. I mean, they're very much sort of an anonymous team, which really is what made their playoff run so interesting. It's a question of if you're him, you're 31 years old, you'd rather go somewhere where you think you have an opportunity to win soon again. And
but
I
is
don't
Seattle
know
if, that far off? They took a big step this year.
They did.
With a nondescript lineup.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it was a fluke. I think they certainly played well in, you know, getting to the conference finals. Second round. They didn't make
second round, yep.
Sorry. They lost it. That's right. They lost to Dallas. Second, you know, game seven of a second round. I don't think they're far away. I'm not sure they're as close as a guy like Tarasenko is going to be looking for, though.
I mean, depending on his relationship with Jaden Schwartz when they played in St. Louis, if that
and
was positive.
And Jordan Eberle.
Yep, and Jordan Eberle. I mean, if it's positive there, that's guys that he knows, potential line mate, because he had played with them before. Seattle's biggest roster problem is everybody has a no movement clause for some reason on that team. But, you know, like a 2 or 3 year deal, he was an $8 million guy last year. You think he's going to want around that. But, I mean, I look at that roster and I think in terms of plug and play, that's a really good landing spot for him.
Yeah. It's definitely more intriguing. I mean, I think Carolina's the team that is, I think, closer to contention, but they've got they've got numbers problems cap wise.
Yeah, no, that's true. They have to make moves. That's why I said that's my team that would have to make moves. But
what about a team like Ottawa?
He's not going to Ottawa. He's not going. No,
they can splurge on him.
No, but he needs another contract after the short one. Yeah. He doesn't want to end his career. Ottawa's where careers are going to die right now. Until that ownership stuff sorted out and the arena stuff is sorted out, Ottawa's the new Buffalo. Nobody's going there unless they have to.
I was going to say, when the new ownership group comes in, Ryan Reynolds can just sweet talk him in.
But yeah, not Ottawa. Nope. I think New Jersey or San Jose has a better chance of signing him than Ottawa does. Then I'm not sure either one of those teams are in the running. But the other name that we mentioned, Matt Dumba, he is, I think, a little more curious. What do we think of a 28-year-old defenseman who, Lonnie, you're right in the thick of it there in Minnesota. And I mean, was this year a down year? Is just the reality that he's just a defensive-minded guy and 25 points is most you're going to get? Like, what do you feel with Dumba?
I mean, this year was this year was a bad year. This wasn't just a down year. He was bad. He was healthy. He only missed three games. 14 points. It is half of what he had the previous year in 22 more games. This was a bad season for him. I don't know. I think he is definitely, you know, since the 1920 season, he had, you know, he had double digit goals the previous 4 years in his first, third through seventh seasons. He had 10 goals, 11 goals, 14 goals, 12 goals. And he's definitely regressed a bit since then. And it was, you know, before that 14 goal season that he signed his current deal. I think he's probably more of a, he might be proving out to be more of a, you know, certainly middle pair defenseman, not a top pair anymore. And he's a right shot defenseman. So there's, there's a bit of a premium on something like that right now.
Yeah,
I'm super confused as to what it is that's holding him back in this market.
Maybe he's just demanding too much.
I mean, but I'm not sure anybody could look at the last four seasons and be like, be in a super big rush to pay that kind of money. I mean, even he's got to see that, I'd hope.
Yeah, you got to assume he's taking a pay cut. I don't think $6 million is coming his way.
Absolutely not.
No.
Richard, what about your neck of the woods? Your other team out east, Boston, is a landing spot for Dumba.
I mean, that's definitely not where my mind was going out east as far as taking him in, but I wouldn't mind seeing him in the black and gold. I mean, it's especially if you're going to be able to get him for less than $6 million a year. You know, not a bad addition to your blue line. But you look at the season that Boston just had and you think, yes, goaltending was a huge part of that, but I don't think they had too many problems on defense. You know, they were playing pretty solid up and down that roster. Now some of that's been blown up, but I think the blue line is pretty well intact right now.
He's a Western Canadian guy, Jacob. Well, somewhat. I think he's a Saskatchewan boy. Does Edmonton make sense, Jacob?
I don't think Edmonton has room for him on the blue line. I think their blue line, unless they get rid of a guy like Cody Ceci, I just don't think there's room because they got guys like Broberg coming up. They better be keeping Evan Bouchard. And you just can't really – there's just no room on the blue line for him.
Okay.
To be perfectly honest. I think maybe Calgary makes sense.
I mean, it would be a straight for Edmonton to get it. It would really be just a straight swap with CC. CC's a year older. They're both right defensemen. It's about the number that I think he's going to end up at 3.25.
Okay,
that to me sort of it would be a swap. It wouldn't be an addition.
So, as in, they'd have to get rid of CC first, is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, Calgary's interesting. Lonnie, what about Winnipeg? Go right to the rival.
I don't even know what you make of Winnipeg right now.
They need a right D.
Yes.
They are very thin on D.
They are. Winnipeg wouldn't be bad simply because there is a strong leadership component with Dumba. And I do think that's a team that could use a strong voice in the room.
Okay.
After all of the, we've heard a lot of unrest with there in the off season.
Okay. Go ahead.
Speaking of Winnipeg, I'm more surprised that they haven't made really many trade splashes.
No.
Like, I'm surprised they couldn't trade Blake Wheeler.
I'm not.
Big number.
Yeah, but he also produces relatively well and consistently well. Like,
yeah, you know, 35 years old and a big number, and you know he's gonna become available, you don't need to give anything up for him.
Yeah. That's fair. And he was only on like 1 year left, so yeah.
Yeah, it was only 1 year, but it's just it's such a big cap number to take in, even for a year.
Yeah,
even though he produces, if you're the Rangers, then you could get him for, you know, pocket change.
Basically. But here's the thing: if you know that, so this is one of the cases where the GMs knew they were bidding against themselves, and instead, he's making under three. Let him walk, and then it costs him even less. I mean, like, you don't have to give anything because he's going to go where he wants to go anyway. If he doesn't want to come to you, like, don't trade for him. Like, it wasn't going to be a good situation if he didn't want to be there. And I think they knew Winnipeg had to buy him out.
Right.
I mean, I think it was pretty, or not 275. Sorry. It was 5.6. The dead cap. Oh no, sorry. It was 8.25. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was $8 million. That's right. It was 8.25. And you got to remember he had a modified no trade clause. So he controlled where he went. He submitted a 5-team trade list. So he basically said, here's the 5 teams, go trade for him. Well, those 5 teams know they've got a chance to get him in free agency anyway for less money. I think that's the whole Wheeler situation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Any other names, guys, that are surprising you?
The Pierre-Luc Dubois signing shocked me, at least.
How come?
A lot of money for a lot of term for an unproven player.
It's you know what? Didn't surprise me because it was the Kings. It's a very Kingsian move.
you're setting up your succession plan.
Yeah.
You're basically paying for your next leader, you know, with Kopitar nearing the end as quick as I thought he was, but you're setting up succession at your center, your top center position. I don't hate it.
And Jacob, he, I mean, he's a 60 point guy. It's a pretty good guy. I mean, 60 plus points is what he's gotten most of his years. That's a pretty good offensive number for him. I mean, I don't think he's I don't think he's underperforming.
No, I'm not saying he's underperforming. I just think that's a really big price to pay, or a lot of term for a guy that you don't know how he's going to fit in your system. And even with the Ante Kopitar signing, it's going to be a bit weird to see, you know, where he plays, because you're not going to put Philip Deneau on a wing. So how's he going to fit into your lineup?
I think in today's, I think Deneau goes down to it. Deneau's a shut. So I could see Deneau and Pierre-Luc Dubois as 1 and 2. Kopitar being the, because the three center is now the, you play against the shutdown line, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though he has a lot of offense, he's still a really good defensive center. So you could slot in Kopitar, and I don't think he would care what number center he is. He's playing against the best team, the best line of the other team. So in theory, Deneau and Dubois are your 1 and 2 centers.
Yeah. Makes sense.
LA's deep and going for it. That's pretty. I like that. I like the way that they're setting up their roster. I think they're going in the right direction.
As an Oilers fan, I don't.
The only problem, I think, in LA is they still have a goalie problem.
Yeah.
I mean, they've invested less than $4 million in goalies. And they have 3 of them.
Yeah.
And none of them are great. I mean, all 3 are basically career backups. That's a problem.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Which makes you wonder how they can get rid of 1 or 2. And if Bernier is healthy, they sign him.
So, I mean, you started to allude to this as you like what LA is doing. Given what we've seen with signings and the free agency and who's been acquired, Adam, who do you think is looking to be the most improved going into next season?
Jeez. Doing that, huh?
That's right there in the rundown. Who improves? Yeah,
Most improved for next season. I think LA is going to be improved. I'll give you a couple.
Okay.
If everybody remains healthy, I think Pittsburgh figures it out next year. God, I think Columbus got better, but that coaching situation, I don't have a read on how that whole coaching situation is going to turn out, but I like their draft and I like some of the pieces. And then I also don't think Carolina's done, but it's hard to, I mean, Carolina's just kind of been consistent the last few years. So if you're talking about in terms of points improvement, probably LA. I'll go okay. LA or Pittsburgh will have the biggest upside in points.
Jacob, what are your thoughts? Who's your biggest improve this far into the free agency?
Oh man. I'd say Detroit. I really like what Detroit has done.
I should have gone before you.
I'm glad he said it, so I didn't have to be the homer.
I agree. I like what they've done so far in the offseason with Compher, Gauthier, and DeBrincat. I think those have been solid signings for them. And much needed signings for them.
So Lonnie, you know, you're going to say it anyway. What's the big, they still got cap room. They can still do something.
Yep.
What do they need? If they're going to be a playoff team next year, what do they need?
I think, I mean, the goaltending situation still worries me. Even with the moves they made there. I think the defense is going to be just fine. I'm a little interested to see how it's all going to, you know, how the pairings are all going to come together. They've got Simon Edvinson, who is their number one pick a couple of years ago, got injured at the end of the season. I think some of the moves they've made have set it up so that if he isn't, like, there's no need to rush him back, basically. Played well when he was there, but I think you don't need to rush him. You don't want him to be your seventh defenseman either. So he may spend a lot of time in Grand Rapids and be that first call up. But I think goaltending is worrisome. But I think you could say that for a good number of teams.
I think they need a veteran leader forward still. I actually thought Corey Perry was going to go there.
I actually thought we were going to take a run at ROR.
Yeah, I think DeBrincat was on the target. Clearly it was DeBrincat more than they were focused on that.
It was DeBrincat or bust. I mean, no. It's not as big a need as it would have, as it was before last season, adding David Perron last year.
Yep.
He jumped in, got a letter immediately. And I think I think the additions of him and Sherratt last year, in addition to sort of size and grit, it brought leadership also. I think that's less of a concern. It's seeing how all the pieces come together now that the moves are made. I mean, like, I think the Justin Hall signing was a curious use of 3 years and $10 million. I'm not sure I see that one, but I feel a lot better after the DeBrincat trade though.
Yeah, I do too. I think a veteran forward is what they need. And, you know, I don't know if it's like a Kessel or a Krejci,
Hey, Nick Ritchie's available.
Derek Stepan. They go back to the Tartar. Well, I mean, I just think a veteran depth forward for that locker. Like, it is a under 30 locker room.
Oh yeah.
And if you want to take the next step, I kind of feel you want a guy that's been through it before. to just kind of push them when the times, because you're going to have low times in a team like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't look at the, like, I don't see screaming veteran leadership on that roster. Not, and it's not a bad thing. It's just, you know what I mean? The guy that'll go to the media and take all the pressure off, like take the pressure off of Dylan Larkin. Cause Dylan Larkin's still only 26 years old.
Right.
Hey, you got a Patrice Bergeron, who's a UFA.
I think
he's Patrice, going back to Boston.
It's Boston or retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think there's, but yeah, it's, but I mean, Creechy, I just, that's what I'm just like, Lonnie. So, you know, as a fan, put your Homer hat on.
Yeah.
You lose 4 or 5 or lose 4 of 6. You're in a rut. You know, Dylan Larkin's been answering the media. You need a guy to go face the media to take the pressure off. Who's the soundbite? Who's the guy? Who's the one that's going to step up and do that on that team right now?
Right now, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be Perron or it's going to be Fabry.
What about Compher?
You know, I mean, Richard, you've got a better sense of him, you know, after his time in Colorado. Do you see him being able to step into that role?
Possibly. He was so overshadowed by everything else on the roster here in Colorado.
That's my point. Is when you're going like Robbie Fabry? No, I'm sorry. Like if I'm the media, Robbie Fabry's not the guy that I want to step up for the sign.
It's Perron, maybe Kopp. I mean, Kopp had no problem stepping in last year too.
But that's what I'm saying. You want the veteran with the name. You know, that's where I think they missed on like the Corey Perry type. You know, as much maligned on the ice, he'll step up and take the media. And that's to me what Detroit's missing is a depth forward who will go talk to the media when they've lost 4 of 6.
Yeah, I mean, I could see him going back to either, you know, a guy like Nosek. You'd go to another former or Tatar, another Tatar, former, yeah. I mean, Thomas Nosek. I mean, like, there's a couple of guys out there that they could go and sign. Paul Stastny's still out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still out there. If he's going to play.
If he's going to play. Right. I mean, that's sort of the thing is at a certain point, it's, you know, if they're going to play again. Same with Kessel.
Yeah.
At 35 years old. Who's to say if he's going to give it another go?
So our final talk about the previous season. Most memorable moment from the previous season. Richard.
This is just one that's stuck in my mind. It's not exactly a pleasant moment, but just all the stupid controversy that we had over warm-up jerseys this season. That is the most memorable for me, and I hate the fact that it is.
And they really solved that problem.
Right, yeah. No more warm-up jerseys. No more special warm-up jerseys.
Yeah. Lonnie?
I think Florida's comeback to take out Boston. Sorry, Richard. No, you know,
it hurts.
I'm sorry. Hate to do it. It's, you know, to have a run as dominant as Boston had in the regular season and they, you know, to see it all just sort of disappear that quick. I mean, Florida in overtime, that really the whole series was just, or the whole playoffs was unbelievable, but they found a way to get it done, square with the extra man, like did all the dirty work to keep the series alive and force it 7 and then to pull off the upset was incredible.
Jacob?
Can I get 2?
It's fine. Make it quick.
So first one.
If I ask for two, you wouldn't give it to
because of the exchange rate. He gets 2 moments in Canada because they don't, you know, it's Canada. And
both Canadian related.
Of course they are.
First one.
1993 called.
So the first one is the Toronto Maple Leafs finally making it out of the first round and then getting absolutely destroyed by the Florida Panthers was a great funny story and memorable for me as well. And the second one is McDavid putting up near Gretzky numbers this season was quite surprising to me and very, very welcome.
Damn it, I have to retire from this podcast now if I'm thinking like Jacob. Oh, yeah. Yeah. My most memorable of this year is just the video game known as Connor McDavid. Just every time we thought he was going to slow down this year and every time we thought we were going to get another highlight goal. I mean, it became as much of a joke as Ovechkin in the left circle on the power play. It was, oh, McDavid had a highlight goal. Like, all his goals are turning into high. He's just that freaking good. And God, I wish he was out of Edmonton for the sake of hockey, because he's not getting enough play on TV and down in the States because of all ratings. Like, this guy is still underappreciated in the hockey world, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I think in their next NHL game, EA needs to put in a cheat code that's just McDavid. You score every time you shoot the puck.
And the thing with him this year that I really loved, he's turning the corner on being a media guy. He's finally just realizing this is my league. It's not Sid's league anymore. It's not Ovi's. Like, I think McDavid took a big step this year and like, this is my league. And yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good for hockey. Cause he's really good with the media and definitely is a fun guy. So good stuff.
Yeah.
There you go. Moments from the year.
Moments of the year.
Well, got them all, right?
Got them. Yeah.
Got them all.
Got them all. Not a single one missed there.
Okay. This is your part, Rich. I'm anxiously awaiting this part of the rundown.
Oh, cause you haven't done the math yet.
No, I haven't. But like it sounds ominous the way you threw it in there.
Okay, so I wanted to call it the win percentage because, first of all, second line, we you know, some of us missed some picks. You know, there was a mismatch of number of picks between us. Lonnie got all his in this year, so, I mean, it was even across the board. I don't know how he did it, Lonnie. You need to talk to Jacob and to Lou about how you did it, just because we need some consistency here. And me being on both lines, it's like, well, which one do I pick? So we're going win percentage or correct pick percentage. So for those playing along at home, we'll break this down by line here. Second line. Jacob, you had a pretty decent season with a 457 win percentage when it comes to our picks.
That's decent. Losing money is decent.
Hey, Lou was at
enough for me.
Was at 442. I did come out on top in the second line with a 528. So if you were betting with me, you did not lose any money. And I believe I am the champion of the second line. Now let's go to the first line, because I know Adam's waiting for this one.
And by the way, if you're in Canada, Bet99 is where you should place your bets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Going to the first line here, Lonnie, 447 on the season. Okay. That face kind of says it all. Mm-hmm. You remember my 528. Adam came out on top at an even 600.
Had a good year.
You had a good year.
I had some dominant weeks, if I do say so myself.
You sure? I shot for the moon early on in the season and failed miserably, especially that first week at 0-5. Definitely dug myself a decent size hole to try and crawl out of. But yeah, there you go. Those were our picks for the year. As you could tell, if you would like to bet your money with Bet99 for those of our friends up in Canada, follow along with Adam's picks, at least this year. We'll see how it goes next year, but we do have a trophy. You're going to need to talk to Dr. Lou Lafredo about this, but we do have a PHN Picks Championship trophy for you, Adam. He'll be sending it your way.
I want it. Cause you know, like LeBron, just put the crown on.
somebody will dethrone you next year, but I'm sure of it. Yeah.
Nobody saw clips from the ESPYs last night with LeBron and his thing. Okay, never mind.
LeBron's kind of a sore subject here in Colorado. We kind of turn a blind eye to that.
Why? You beat him.
We beat him, but then he still took all the attention away from the Nuggets.
When? Last night at the ESPYs?
Or, you know, all the national media covering LeBron lost. Well, yeah, but the Nuggets won. You know, it's just, it was all about LeBron and how he lost. He lost the game. No, it wasn't. The Nuggets won.
Lonnie, wow.
I'm out on this. This is stupid. This is dumb. Richard, edit this whole section out. You sound ridiculous. Enough of this.
For your own sake, edit yourself out. Just for your own sake.
Okay. Just in general?
No, just this topic.
Just the diatribe you just went on.
Yeah. Okay.
Your whininess. No, like you're whining like my 7-year-old.
I'm explaining why he's a sore subject here. I'm not sad. Not that I wholeheartedly agree with it. To a small extent, I do. But,
you know, usually when we do a combined podcast, Jacob has one of the most asinine things to say, but you're topping it.
Say it was weird asinine this time?
No, that's what I'm saying. You didn't. Richard is now.
Is that a win?
Yes, that's for you. Yes, take the win, dude.
That is a solid W. Yes.
At least I won't whine about it like Richard. Jeez.
Attaboy. Okay.
Wow. God. Wow. Even Jacob's taking shots at you and getting him right. Like, my God.
Oh, all right.
Parting shots for the summer. Jacob, we'll start with you.
Well, one of the things that I'm happy about this season, Oilers did well. It was great to see the Oilers play well. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, or it didn't go to the Cup. But I'm happy that the Women's League is finally unified, and I really hope it succeeds. I hope it lasts, and I hope it is great, because women's hockey is great and underappreciated, and we should have more of it. Hopefully, the second line next season will be incorporating, assuming the season lines up reasonably well, the Women's League, hopefully.
That's the plan.
I like that, but of course, he had to make it Canadian to start it, so he couldn't just go with the women's league. He had to throw the Canadian part in there, but yeah, whatever. Richard, I'm going to let you try to redeem. No, I don't even know if you get a parting shot. I think your parting shot's over.
Wow. All right.
I think you wind your way out of it.
If I edited that out, which none of this is going to make sense. To the listener point.
I would like him to be able to try and redeem himself. I think he's earned that with a year of double shifting.
Okay.
I think I'll end on the note that I lost the PHN picks. I am not going to recognize that Adam won. I'm going to say I lost. And that's it. to make this whole thing super confusing to try and edit later on.
No, you keep that diatribe. You have to keep it. Oh God, Lottie.
So yeah, I don't even know how to follow this anymore. So if you're listening, if you want something to listen to, either long drives, vacation time, hanging out, I started listening to a new podcast from The Athletic today that really, if you're interested in how the mind of coaches work, and I know this is football specific, this particular podcast, it's a really interesting series called The Play Callers. It's in the Athletic Football Show feed. It is the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, and basically a history of how they came together, and just sort of how they build game plans and what things they look for in creating offenses and looking for mismatches. And it's something I think that can be applied to a lot of different sports, in how coaching trees are built and cultivated, and the intelligence it takes to do something at a championship level. It's a really fun listen. It's 5 episodes. I'm halfway through the second one right now, and it's been fascinating so far.
There we go. I'm going to go. a big thank you, first of all, to Lou Lofredo for continuing to publish prohockeynews.com and letting us wax poetic, because that's what we do every week here on the PHN podcast. And our sponsors. I mean, we do have people that support the show. And by you guys supporting them, it helps support the show and to make this feasible for it. So, you know, My Custom Sports Chair stepped up big this year. We got Foco. We've got Manscaped, which those are a lot of fun. Those are my favorite segues. LDE Affinity Jewelry, Bet99, ChicagoWolvesStore.com. I get everybody that helped us out this year, Richard.
I believe that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Manscaped is by far been my best segues on the first line.
And yet you didn't get one in this episode.
I did not. So maybe we'll just have to cut it out like Manscaped cuts out the twig and berries. Do that. Yeah. There you go. But and thank you guys for listening. And then you three knuckleheads and Lou for jumping on every week to make this. It really is a fun podcast. Podcast, and I love doing it with you guys.
And thank you for hosting us on the first line, because you bring the listeners in, and I try not to drive them away.
Oh, God, man. I bring in while I drive them away all at the same time.
So. I'm just trying not to drive away more.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and I do want to say thank you to Emily, who is my favorite listener. We just won't mention her last name. We'll keep her protected. Don't want to guilt her, but definitely the best listener of the podcast.
You know, you could have inserted any name there and it would just creep the listener out.
It's no, I'm not but trying
she
to
knows
creep
who
her
she
out.
Is.
But she does know Dave. Who she is.
So Dave, if you're listening,
I know where you live.
For the final time this year, for Lou Lofredo, Jacob Doherty, or Ronnie Goldsmith, our producer extraordinaire, Richard Cote, I am Matt Minnick. Have a good summer. We're only about 90 days away from getting things booted up again. This has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.